We should do more sitting at the feet of Jesus so that when we do something in service to Him, it'll be in the right perspective. You know, the Lord rebuked Martha and extolled Mary. That's totally opposite from the independent Baptist movement today. In that movement today, Mary would have been rebuked and Martha would have been extolled. But can I say something? Your service is lopsided when you stop doing it for Him. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. That is the last book of your Bible, in case you're biblically challenged. If you are, I'm trying to help you. The last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at a verse in chapter 2, but let me set the stage before we do. The beginning of chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we won't read it for time's sake, but it's about the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus. Now, if you went to the church at Ephesus' website, if they had such a thing, you would see a church that's brimming full of activity and outreach and things going on for God. So how do you know that? It says so in the first few verses. The Lord, He tells them, He says, I know your works. I know these things that you're doing. You're doing good things. The church at Ephesus may have had a bus ministry, or a buggy ministry. Dynamic outreach programs, meetings, conferences, whatever you want to call them. They probably had great congregational singing. They probably had a bluegrass band that played Hallelujah. They had it all. But the Lord said in verse number 4 to this church, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You see, Ephesus had everything going for it, but not for the right reasons. Not for the right reasons. Now, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. In this 21st century, I realize this passage is directed to a church doctrinally. But I'm going to bring it down where the rubber meets the road. And I'm going to say that personally, many of us do things for God without a love for Christ. Father, I pray you bless these few minutes now. Help us, Lord. Give us guidance and clarity of speech. Lord, I'm having a good time so far. So far, people like me. They may not when we get done. But if the reason they don't like me is because of you, that's fine. As long as you like me. So please hide me behind the cross. Help me to preach with boldness and clarity. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." A couple things inspired this message. I was going to preach for Brother Stephen Beatty out on the East Coast in Ohio at their Christian school. They'd asked me to come preach. Dan and Allie had at the Christian school. And I laid up the night before and I asked the Lord, "What do you want me to preach?" I couldn't get this verse off of my mind. And then that old song popped in because we were dealing with leaving your first love. You all remember that old Righteous Brothers song, "You've Lost That Loving Feeling"? You remember it? A couple of y'all old enough to remember. I just like old music. And I said, "Man, I should call this message, 'You've Lost That Loving Feeling.'" I said, "No, the brethren would kill me if I did that." So I really had no title for it. But it came to my mind. And boy, it's, you know, what we have with the Lord, what we should be having with the Lord, is a relationship, if I may, between lovers. He loves us and we're supposed to love Him back. And what we do is supposed to be because we love Him. But most of the time what we do is not because we love Him. What we do is because we love the praise of men. Say, what you mean? A lot of times we'll witness to people and we'll brag about it just so people will know that we're some dynamic Christian. That's where we are in this day. We don't do it because we love Him. A lot of times we don't give our tithes and we don't give our offerings because we love Him. We do it to be seen. And can I just tell you that that philosophy and that attitude is the reason there's so many cold-hearted Christians living in carnality these days. Now, there's a few things I've noticed about being in love, leaving the love of Christ. I've noticed some reasons why we tend to leave our first love. The first one of these reasons is sin. Just straight up sin. Let's face it, I mean, really all these sub-points under here can be classified as sin. And the reason that we leave Christ, the reason that we leave our first love is because we like our sin better than we love Christ. I don't know what your personal sin is, what it is that makes you stray from Christ, but I know what mine are. I'm not going to share them this morning. I hope you don't stand up and share yours because I really don't care to know. But I know this, somewhere deep in your heart, you know the sin that doth so easily beset you. You know the one that makes you like what you're doing more than you like serving Christ. More than you like living for Christ. And I'm going to tell you that we all have them that we struggle with. I'd like to say I've got victory. And I do have victory as long as I keep my perspective and my focus right. And by the way, you can have victory over sin in your life. That's good news, isn't it? A lot of Christians live defeated and terrible lives because they keep themselves in bondage to their sin when Christ has already given you the victory and you need to claim it. Hey, you don't have to live a defeated life. You can fall back in love with your Savior. But a lot of times our sin keeps us away from Christ. The lack of confession of our sin keeps us away from Christ. By the way, just so you know where I stand, I do believe we should confess our sins. On a daily, sometimes few minutes basis, we should be keeping our account short with the Lord. Amen? You want to see revival? What are you here to see this week? Do you want to see revival? I'm going to say this. Revival is going to start when God's people confess some of their sin. When God's people seek to draw closer to Christ. Let me say something else that may cause you to leave your first love. Back where I come from, the word is soreness. But you get sore at God. Bitterness toward the Lord will help you to leave off loving Him like you should. Now, can I tell you, I've experienced this. And it's a little less fragile of a topic for me. And so just by way of personal illustration, can I just say I got bitter at God a few years ago. I got angry with Him. Say, what did He do to you? He didn't do a thing to me, but I thought He did. And can I tell you something? If the Lord does all things well, and if Romans 8:28 is still in your Bible, then no matter what crisis comes in your life, if you're a child of God, no matter what situation comes in your life, it's not because the Lord put it there to hurt you, although sometimes it may hurt, but in the long term, He put it there to help you. We don't believe that when we're going through it, Brother James, unfortunately. A lot of times we tend to overact. We tend to act out and kick and scream like little babies. And that was my case. The Lord allowed my aunt to pass away of cancer. Now, other than my mom, my aunt was the closest thing to me. She was an encouragement to me, a great friend. Her kids were raised with us. When she was watching us, she was allowed to spank us. I was scared of her. I got plenty of spankings from my mom and my aunt. They did no good. If you don't believe that, get to know me. But I was scared of her. She meant business. But I loved my aunt. And by the way, can I just say this? No matter what the modernists say, proper discipline of your children will cause them to love you better and not hate you. If your kids hate you because you've disciplined them, then obviously you didn't do it right. But we'll get on that a little bit in a few minutes. Have no fear. But I watched my aunt as she suffered, and I went to Connecticut where they live. I hate the state of Connecticut, by the way. It's where I was born and raised, but I hate it with a holy hatred, if I can. Although this morning I said, how can we hate things with a holy hatred? Only God can do that. But I can't stand that state. But I was up there and was there as my aunt was languishing. I was in the hospital room where she'd grown in pain, and they'd pumped the morphine in her and they'd pumped the drugs in her to cause her to go into medically induced comas for a while. And I'd be there when she passed out, and I'd hear her in her sleep as she cried out in pain. Although her she wasn't feeling it, her mind wasn't feeling it, her body was, and it was stirring a stimulus response. The cancer ward in the hospital, can I say it's one of the most depressing places on earth? And she passed away, and I got upset with God a little bit. But you know, before she passed away, she told me, she said, I want you to preach my funeral. I prayed, my family, a lot of them are not saved, my extended family, and I prayed, Lord, would you give me just one chance to preach to those people the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I prayed that for years, and my aunt asked me to preach her funeral. And I did, I struggled over it, and even with a bitter spirit, I preached my aunt's funeral. I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I preached His love towards sinners. I preached that hell was not created for us, but by rejecting God's Son, we are, in a sense, putting ourselves in hell. Tried to be as loving as I possibly could. A lot of people were blessed by it. There was even a few professions of faith afterward. But that bitter spirit still came in my heart. And I struggled with it for about 6 or 7 months, maybe a little bit longer, until the Lord one morning in love had to break me and say, do you know that I answered your prayer? Because you asked me to let you preach to your family. And I came to the realization that morning that even though it took a loss on my part, the Lord still did all things well. Say, do you ever still grieve? Of course I do. But I'm not bitter at God for the way life happened. Hey, listen, sometimes life gives you lemons. And the best thing to do is just give thanks for the lemons, put some sugar on them, make some lemonade. Or throw them at people. That's great fun too. Hey, listen, you might be bitter at God this morning. You might not love Him like you should, but can I say this? Joy is going to come one morning. You're going to realize that Romans 8:28 is in the book, and you'll see why God did what He did in your life. And when you do, you'll love Him more. I promise. I speak from experience. something else, we get sidetracked in our love of Christ by our service. You may not think so, but listen, there's a bunch of churches out there that preach the gospel of doing all the time. And what they've got is a bunch of frustrated Marthas running around serving, serving, serving. I went to a church in New York not too long ago. By the way, New York's another state that I can't stand. I shake the dust off my feet every time I leave there. But I went to this church over Christmas. And here was it. Now, this is Christmas weekend, the weekend before Christmas. And up till Christmas weekend, they were having revival with me preaching Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They had a Christmas banquet Saturday. Sunday they were singing at two nursing homes. Monday they were doing something else. Tuesday they were doing something. Every night of the week they did something. And God forbid the church members didn't show up, because if they didn't, the pastor would call them and guilt trip them into doing more. Hey, last time I checked, Christmas was about spending time with your family and doing all that kind of stuff. You know, even on Christmas Day, they had church activities. I told that pastor, I said, "Pastor, you're running these people ragged." I said, "It's no wonder your attendance is dropping off." Guys like that, they don't want to hear it, though. I said, "Preacher," I said, "let them get a breath. It was all about service. It wasn't about sitting at the feet of Jesus. His sermons at his church were all about doing, 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 but not growing." Hey, let me put it into perspective for you. We should do more sitting at the feet of Jesus, so that when we do something in service to Him, it'll be in the right perspective. You know, the Lord rebuked Martha and extolled Mary. That's totally opposite from the independent Baptist movement today. In that movement today, Mary would have been rebuked and Martha would have been extolled. But can I say something? Your service is lopsided when you stop doing it for Him. It's lopsided. Hey, Brother James, I'm not trying to discourage your people from serving. Please understand. Just making sure you had my back. Oh. There's only a couple there. They're about around New England. And I grew up there, so I can. I really can't stand New Jersey, but more on that later. But anyway, as I was saying, your service has got to be in the right. Hey, listen, sometimes there have been times in this thing. I've been to a lot of states. I don't like a few of them, but I still go there and try to be a blessing. Try. But you know that if I'm not careful, I can get too busy serving and not busy enough sitting at His feet. Say, what do you mean? I've run myself ragged on these roads, and the next thing you know, my walk with Christ got compromised. Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you that's not right, and that's just as wicked as any other sin. And I've had to get right with the Lord, and I've had to apologize to Him for a perspective shift. Because I wasn't doing it out of love anymore. I was doing it out of obligation. I agree, though, that when a Christian gets down and discouraged, you should still serve out of duty. I agree with that. But if you're serving more out of duty than desire, we've got some issues that need to be dealt with. Your service can cause you to fall away from Christ. And I've seen good church members run ragged and they fall out of church because they do out of duty rather than desire. Serve Him, but serve Him with a heart of love and not with a heart of anger because you have to. I don't serve Christ because I have to. I do it because I want to. Big difference. I'll tell you something else. Something else a lot of people don't like to talk about. Brother Mike's laughing over there. He knows where I'm going. He's heard this before. But a lot of people don't like talking about this one. I do. But a lot of people fall out of love with Christ because they let their standards dictate their spirituality. They let their standards replace their spirituality. I went to Disney World not too long ago. Say amen, Chuck. There was something at Disney World. My mom told me about it, and it kind of caught my attention. But there's a place at Disney, if you've never been there, it's called Main Street USA, when you walk into Magic Kingdom, and it's all these buildings. They got different offices and stores and all the, and there's all these different windows and all these buildings with names in the windows and all that kind of stuff. Well, my mom looked real close, and one of the buildings wasn't a building at all, but a facade. Because behind the building, they were building new places at Disney. But they were more concerned about the way things looked on the outside. So meticulously, they painted the proper names of the windows on the vinyl facade. They made it look like there was really a building inside. But if you walked behind it just a little bit, you'd see a great big mess. Can I tell you, that's the way a lot of Christianity is right now. We put up a great facade. We make it look real good because we've got the right standards. We've got the right things going on in our life. But behind that facade that looks so good is a great big mess. Because you don't want to admit that God is still working on you. Listen, I believe we should have personal standards and convictions. I believe we should. But I've seen a lot of parents make the mistake of teaching their kids how to look and not showing them how to live. That's my generation, folks. I stand here, the generation after the hippie generation. Our parents in my generation, they went through the hippie generation. And they said this, they said, my kid's not going to turn out like that. And so I'm going to set up the house rules and I'm going to set up the things in our family to where they won't turn out like that. My kids are going to have hair that looks just so. They're going to have friends that seem like they're just so. They're going to listen to music that doesn't sound a thing in the world like what we listen to. I'm going to drag them to church. I'm going to put them in the Christian school and I'm going to spank them every time they do something that I would have done as a kid. Say, what did that do? It trained them how to put on the good little Disney facade. But the parents never showed them how to pray. They never showed them how to love Christ. They just showed them how to look. You know where my generation is now? A lot of them divorced 3 or 4 times. Some of my friends are in prison. The kids I grew up with in the church, in a church that looked good. But they've all gone away. Because their parents taught them how to look and not how to live. The standards were a priority rather than the Savior. So how'd you make it, Brother Jesse? I had a mom that even when I was a little kid, I'd ask her about my friends and she'd say, you know, we don't do things like that around here. My mom told me, she said, I'd rather teach you how to love the Lord. She told me later, she said, I knew that when you got in your teenage years, you were going to not want to look like the church. You were going to stray from it. She said, but I knew if I showed you how to love Christ, that you'd be back. Brother James gave testimony about his mom praying every morning. My mom does that. Every morning she reads her Bible. She sits on that same place, on the same couch, every morning with her cup of tea and her King James, 1611. And she's done it for 30-something years since she's been saved. You know what I do now? I try to sit in the same place every morning and read the Scripture. Say, why is that? Mom showed me how to love. She wasn't near as concerned about how I looked. And mind you, she raised me right. But her standards didn't overshadow her Savior. Were there rules? Absolutely. And my rear end felt it when I broke them. But those rules didn't dictate spirituality. My mom taught me right. Listen, you parents that's raising your kids now, I don't have kids of my own. And I'm not like Bill Gothard back east, who has never had a kid in his life and has family conferences trying to teach you how to raise your family. I think that's about ridiculous. But I will say this. If you show your kids how to love Christ, and if you do it by what your Bible says, they'll make it. They'll make it. They may stray from you for a little while. There'll be a place where you lose a lot of control of them. But your prayers and your life will teach them how to love Christ a whole lot more than a rule book will. A whole lot more than helping them to put the Disney facade on. We had a guy in our church several years ago, had about 50 more standards than God. You know what all them standards were there for? To cover something else up. To cover up the fact that he was doing unmentionable things to his children at home. Say, where's he now? He's in prison for the rest of his life because of what he did. He knew how to look, but he couldn't live. And he couldn't love the Lord with all those obstructions in his way. So he used those visible things. And can I tell you something else? If you have a standard just because somebody else has one, not because the Lord showed you that you need to have one, it's nothing but humanism. It's comparing yourself to somebody else. I like being around people with higher standards than what I have when the Lord showed them to them. You know why? I feel refreshed being around them. But those people that's got more standards than Leviticus had, because they read it in some book somewhere and they want to show you, I don't feel real refreshed by those people. I feel like I'm back in my childhood days with all my friends' parents. It's good to have that stuff, but let's keep it in perspective. Let's love Christ. You know, there's some results of a love that's been left. You don't communicate with Him anymore if you're not in love with Him. There's a loss of fellowship there. There's a lack of victory in your life. Say, why is that? Because you're counting on you for your victory rather than counting on Him. You don't love Him like you should. There's a lost love, a lost victory, and there's a lot of heartache. Can I tell you something? My sleepless nights come when my love for the Lord takes a back seat. If you don't love Him most, you know what you love most? You. My worst times or when I have to reevaluate my love for Him. Can I tell you, He never stops loving me. He never stops loving me. But sometimes my love sure grows cold. And sometimes yours does too, doesn't it? Can I say this? There can be a restoration of your first love. James chapter 4 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So what's that double-mindedness mean? That means you trying to hold on to other loves before Him, and He wants to be first. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Hey, listen, if you make the first step, He'll meet you halfway. Amen. Can I tell you something? I believe in His restorative hand. I've seen Him restore. He's restored me from a lack of love. And He can do the same for you. You want revival this week? Why don't you get your love restored first? Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be hard with you. Just trying to give you a thought. And we'll let the real preacher come at 11 and he'll preach. But fall in love with Christ the way you should. Get your priorities straight.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.